eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Through 25 seasons,
hey!
4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show. The podcast.
If there is one thing we have learned over the past 25 years, it is that life can change in an instant. In the amount of time it takes to replace a light bulb, to put on your lipstick, to get your mail, it can happen just that fast. Nobody knows that better than Lori and Chris Koebel. What happened to them has us all shaking our heads in utter disbelief. It is a story of unimaginable loss, unbelievable courage, and an undeniable miracle, a twist of fate that will make the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up. It starts with the worst day of their lives.
We knew when we first got married that we definitely wanted kids right away.
Well, we were definitely, I think, best described as a goofy, fun-loving family. And there was plenty of dancing and silliness and laughing, and I think we just like to have a lot of fun.
Oh, because your crazy sister coming to do it too.
It was the day after Kyle's birthday. My mom was with us that day, and we wanted to go somewhere and do something fun. We decided to go to a local shopping center that had a Ferris wheel, and Kyle wanted to go on the Ferris wheel. We went on the merry-go-round, went to the pet store, everything that kids love to do. It was getting pretty close to nap time, and the kids were kind of starting to get tired. So we backed the car up, got on the freeway, and started to head home. While we were driving home, Emma and Katie were watching a movie on TV, and Kyle was playing with a new Nintendo DS he just got for his birthday. After 10 minutes being in the car, I was stopped in traffic, and I turned around to check on the kids. And that's when I noticed that Katie was falling asleep. So I reached back and I tickled her toes. And that was one of the last things that I remember.
A big rig truck loaded with 40,000 pounds of cargo slammed into Lori's minivan at over 55 miles per hour. Lori was knocked unconscious, but her mother, Cindy, who was also in the car, remembers everything.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean Every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
All of a sudden, all I could hear was metal bending and crashing and crunching, and it was the worst sound I've ever heard in my life.
911 emergency, what are you reporting?
Hi, is there a really bad car accident? We think there's a couple of dead children stuck in the car. Please send someone to our
place. It was the most horrific accident I've ever seen, and it just happened so quick. All I could think was, oh my God, how are we going to get these kids out of here as well? And I couldn't get them out.
The next thing I remember is waking up on the side of the freeway.
Lori had a severe concussion. Her mother, Cindy, had broken ribs. They were taken to one hospital. In order to handle all of the trauma, Kyle and Katie were taken to another, and 4-year-old Emma went to a third. Chris was at work when he received the devastating news. Doctors wouldn't tell him anything until he got to the hospital.
I literally ran to the emergency room at that point. They took me back into a small room, and the doctor told me, I'm sorry, but Katie has expired. A few more minutes went by. They told me there was a call from the doctor from Saddleback Hospital. And I got on the phone, and the first thing I said was, please tell me Emma's alive. And he said, I'm sorry, but Emma has expired. So I just dropped the phone. I just... I couldn't believe that was happening. It's almost like my world went black at that point, you know. Emma was at a third hospital, you know, 30 to 40 minutes away from where we were. I was one of my own children, and I couldn't even make it to that hospital with everything going on.
Chris had to tell Lori that Emma and Katie had died.
I just remember screaming, and I didn't know how I could be alive, and they could have died. And I asked about Kyle. They didn't know if he was going to make it. I didn't want Kyle to be alone. I didn't want him to be scared when he woke up.
Chris rushed to be with Kyle, his only remaining child.
And I could see Kyle on a bed with lots of equipment around him, and he was laying there with his eyes half open. I had some hope for a moment that maybe he'll survive. So the doctor talked to me and pulled me aside. His brain hadn't been receiving any oxygen, and he wasn't coming back. And he suggested to stop life support. So we decided to get Lori transported and so we could say goodbye together to Kyle. I got to hold his hand and talk to him and spend time with him, telling him I'm sorry this happened. Wish I could go in his place. Wish I could change things. And brushing his hair back and holding his hand.
His eyes were open, and I thought he was alive. I thought they were all wrong.
She's climbing out of the wheelchairs the best she can to hug Kyle. And saying he's got to go be with his sisters now. The sisters are waiting for him. And so we stopped life support. The machines went dark. And the room went dark, and I held my hand on his chest and until his heart stopped beating. He was gone.
Well, it's obviously very difficult for Chris and Lori to share their story, but I have to believe that they will inspire everybody watching today and help us all understand that it is possible, no matter what you are facing right now, somehow you can keep going and put one foot in front of the other. Thank you both for being here today. How were you even able to breathe after that? I mean, I'm sure that there was a period of complete numbness where you were just walking through your life.
Yes, I think I was numb for months mm-hmm. afterwards, for years. I'm mm-hmm. still numb at times. Mm-hmm.
This was three and a half years ago.
It was hard to get up to do your daily routines, mm-hmm. to even take a shower. Mm-hmm. You somehow just do it. We did it for them.
Well, you're obviously in shock for weeks and mm-hmm. disbelief and mm-hmm. Denial would be the most descriptive word probably.
Yeah, because when you wake up, you still can't believe that it happened. You're hoping that it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
The worst nightmare you ever had.
Every morning you just wake up and you were happy to be asleep just for some period of time so you could get away from the crushing feeling of grief.
So when the worst thing possible you can imagine happens to you, how do you begin to move forward with the rest of your life? No matter what you're dealing with in your life, I hope that today Lori and Chris's story will be your guide to know that life can get better, that it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay.
I think it took a while to really sink in that this had happened.
You're kind of moving through life in a complete fog at that point. You have no desire to eat, no desire to drink, no desire to sleep.
It really started to sink in when we had to pick out caskets, decide where they were going to be buried.
You're picking out not one, but three caskets, for all your children. There's really no words to describe that.
It was the day before the funeral. We did a viewing. We got to go see the kids one last time. They opened the doors, and in the back of the room, just three little caskets, kind of in a semicircle. You're going through this, and it's like a dream. You just want to wake up, and it was reality that they weren't coming back, and they weren't laughing anymore. I could still hear their voices. I spent a lot of time in their room, smelling their bed, smelling their clothes.
We wanted to tell the Cobles' heart-wrenching story today, not just so that we could be voyeurs in their lives, but because of their strength and their ability to keep standing, to actually get up and put one foot in front of the other every day. So incredibly, I hear that you were able to actually speak at your children's funeral.
Well, while it would have been easy to sit in the congregation and mm-hmm. and not, try to face something and do something that difficult, facing the hard things is what you have to do in this situation. And you just can't sit back and let it consume you. You kind of have to look in the face of the guilt and
walk through the pain.
Yeah.
Walk through the pain. And so I think it's so important to be able to not just acknowledge their lives, but to be able to celebrate and honor their lives. That's part of what we want to do here today in memory of them, because I think it's so easy for people to get focused. I learned this actually from a show we did a long time ago with Dr. Phil, that people get focused on the day of the death, and the memory plays over and over and over in your head of the day of the death instead of the life that they had to give, even in their short 5 years, 4 years, 2.5 year span, the life that they, and the light that they brought to you.
Yes, yes. The day of the accident played over in my head for years, mm-hmm. and it was difficult, and it played over and over, and when I'd close my eyes at night, that's what I'd see. And after some time of doing that every night, every day, their lives started to kind of to live again in me. Mm-hmm. I started to feel them again and remember the happy times that we mm-hmm. had together.
I know you told our producers that you had thought about ending your own lives, and you all made a pact. Yeah. What was the pact?
We did.
the pact was that when we go to sleep some night, we're not going to wake up and sneak away and do something to leave the other one. Mm-hmm. So as much as, you know, to some degree, you want to be with them and at the same time end this, you know, constant feeling of grief, you could easily, you know, consider taking your own life and mm-hmm. maybe it'll be better in a sense that you'll see them again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're leaving the other person. So that's, you know.
We promised not to leave each other alone. Mm-hmm. We were the only ones understanding what we were going through. And we weren't.
Even though you had enormous support from friends and family, I hear
yes,
everybody in the neighborhood wrapped their trees with pink and blue ribbons.
Yes, yes. It was wonderful and amazing, and they held us up. But at the end of the day, Chris was really the only one that understood what I was going through. Mm-hmm. We lost our kids, and although our family and our friends were there for us, mm-hmm. their children were still alive. Mm-hmm. So.
Was it hard to see children on the street? Was it hard to see other children playing? Was it hard to hear the laughter of other children?
It was. It was difficult. We have tons of kids on our street, and kids are always playing in the street. And we'd close our windows. We'd go in the back of the house so we didn't have to hear the laughter. Mm-hmm. We went away on Halloween just mm-hmm. to get away so mm-hmm. we didn't have to hear the kids coming in and knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you say that you didn't like it and still don't. When people say time heals all wounds.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that people will try to comfort you with. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can say to make them feel better. And usually, you know, all these statements like, well, time heals all wounds and things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. Those kind of statements usually make the person that you're talking to actually feel more angry because yeah. they feel more isolated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember Phil used to say that time, Dr. Phil, the time doesn't heal anything. It's what you do with the time, you know, yeah. and that the memory never changes. The memory doesn't heal the memory.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
When a tragedy like this happens, we've seen how it can often rip marriages apart, you know, or bring it closer together. So what happened here? Well, I can see what happened here. what happened here? Was there a time when you were angry with her or you were angry with him? Was there, because part of the stages of grief is to be angry. Yeah.
Yes, we were definitely grieved at different times. So we were at different stages throughout the grief. And I was angry with Chris at times. He was angry with me. But at the end of the day, we came together.
Mm-hmm. And that was a decision. Was that a decision at the beginning? Did you understand how people are torn apart and say, no matter what, we're not going to kill ourselves, number okay. one, and then we're going to get through this.
Well, we started going to counseling right away because mm-hmm. we knew we were in over our heads entirely. Mm-hmm. And if there's one thing counseling taught me, and you know, before this, I may not have said I was all that interested in talking about my feelings, you know, mm-hmm. typical guy response maybe. But what counseling taught me was that you need to engage in keep those lines of communication open with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy after this to say, well, I don't want to mention anything, or I don't want to tell her how I'm feeling because it, maybe it'll make her cry or make her feel upset. Mm-hmm. That's the complete opposite of what you need to do. So if, you know, the divorce rate is much higher for parents who've lost a child, and I think that's because communication is just completely shut down between
yeah,
the two.
And I would say yeah, communication and people shut, because people shut down.
Right.
Yeah. Lori's mother, Cindy, is here, and she says, she can't believe how strong Lori and Chris have been throughout all of this, really. Yeah.
I still am amazed by their strength. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, I was so worried about my daughter and Chris. And one day I went over to their house because she wasn't answering the phone. wasn't answering her cell phone. And I started to think maybe, you know, maybe they're going to hurt themselves or do something, because I know how much pain I was in losing my grandchildren. And I was in so much pain thinking about my daughter, what she had to go through, and to lose her children and Chris. And I went over to their house, and I have a key to their house, and I went in, and I was so afraid, you know.
Of what you would find.
Yeah. So afraid. I went upstairs first, and then I came back down, and I went in the garage. I could hardly even open the door. And then the car was gone. So I thought, okay, you know, maybe they're gone. Of course, then my mind goes to somewhere else, what they could be doing in the car. And then Lori called. I was on my way home, and she called, and they had been out together. And she called, and I was hysterical. So she said, come back to the house, you know, and then now they're comforting me. I was supposed to be comforting her, you know, and then now they were comforting me. But I was so afraid for them.
Did you all make that pact to each other because you were being open enough to share that I'm thinking of killing myself?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Really.
So that's the kind of completely open nature you need to have. It's you basically no holds barred, speak what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. And it turns out in this situation, you know, your spouse is exactly on the same page. So these thoughts aren't exactly
foreign.
Chris,
yeah, right. I think that's very interesting. And had you not had gone into counseling immediately, had someone not told you that, do you think you wouldn't have been able to verbalize that, or you wouldn't have verbalized that, been open enough to say, look, I'm really thinking of...
Right. I think you would probably shut down and not... I mean, my initial instinct was to not talk about it because I might make her upset. And, you know, unless you're taught otherwise during counseling.
Right. You don't know.
Right.
Were you all able to still go through the daily routines of, you know, moving through life, going back to work? You were a stay-at-home mom.
I was. Yeah. I was a stay-at-home mom. So Chris stayed home from work for about 6 months, which was great for me because it helped the loneliness, the quietness. He was there, even though it was definitely still quiet. Without the kids, he was there. There was someone else in the house.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you, because when you've had three kids, all under 6 years old, in your house for the past, you know, 5 years, when I would think the silence would be deafening.
It was. Our house was always loud. There was music playing, the TV playing, the kids playing a game, you know. Someone laughing, someone fighting. They were kids. So it was always loud. And then we came home to a house full of toys and all of their items, their beds, and it was quiet. They weren't there. And it took a long time to adjust to the quietness, to the loneliness.
Kyle was an amazing kid, loved life. He was outgoing. He had lots of friends. He was just very unique. He was an angel.
My fondest memories of Emma were the adventurous side of her. She was independent and brave and fun-loving.
She had a unique personality. She loved to dance. Emma was always bouncing around.
Katie was our little handful. She was the youngest, of course. And, she was very outgoing and loud.
And she would dress up as a princess, and she'd put on her crown and her shoes and dance on this little mat.
Hi, Daddy!
When, you know, you come in the front door and three children are sprinting to get to you first, I have to open my arms big and catch everybody at full speed and, you know, give everyone kisses. So that was the best part of coming home.
You spent a lot of time, I know, thinking about the reason you survived.
I think the reason I survived was to stay here with Chris. I believe that he couldn't have made it alone. And I think that I survived so we could continue our family.
So 3 months after the accident, Lori and Chris decided to try to have more children. So first tell us about making that decision.
I think that was an easy decision to make. I think we had so much fun with the kids. The kids would want us to be happy again. They'd want us to have more children. that seemed like a very simple.
Yeah, we always described ourselves as, at that point, parents without children. I mean, when you have three children that young, your whole lives are dedicated to them, and you love it, mm-hmm. right?
So what happened next is, I think, a miracle. Almost 1 year to the day after the tragic loss of their children, Kyle, Katie, and Emma, Lori gave birth again to triplets. But not just triplets, two girls and a boy. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? We are thrilled to introduce you two, 2.5-year-old Ashley, Ellie, and Jay. Ashley, Ellie, and Jay. Can you say hi, Jay?
Hi.
2.5, you get whatever you can. You get whatever you can.
Yeah.
So do you consider it a miracle also?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a miracle.
I mean, really? Triplets. A boy and two girls.
You probably want the backstory, don't you?
Yeah, a little story. What happened here?
Well, we had decided we were done having children prior to the accident. Mm-hmm. So we had to do in vitro
for medical reasons.
Yes.
And we found out that it was two girls and a boy. We took that as a sign from above, and we put all back in, and almost, 9 months later, they were born.
Unbelievable. Do you think, I always say that when somebody you love dies, it feels like the spirit of them is like an angel you know. I heard you describing, Kyle as a little angel. Do you feel the spirit of them through these children?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We see their little personalities, uh-huh. and definitely by their looks.
Hi.
Can you say hi, Oprah?
Hi, Ellie. Hi.
Definitely by their looks.
Their
yes.
looks, their personalities, their mannerisms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have fun together.
Yeah, it's great. It brings a smile to our face to see that little part of Kyle, Emma, and Katie come uh-huh. back.
A little part of them. Now, have you already started talking to them about Kyle and Katie and Emma?
Yes, yes. They know that they have two sisters and a brother in heaven, and we go to the cemetery and we have picnics and.
Really?
Yeah. As much of a picnic that 2.5-year-olds can have.
Yes, as much as that can be, yes. But I guess my question is, you will integrate the lives of your children who are no longer here.
Of course.
With this, because they still are a part of this family.
Of course,
and
of course.
And a reason for these children's lives.
They will grow up with this knowledge. I mean, we have all the pictures up on the walls in our house still of Kyle, Emma, and Katie, and we look at them and every day with them, and mm-hmm. so they definitely will be part of their lives,
will
knowledge
be part of
them.
Their lives. That's amazing. So tell us about their middle names.
The triplets have the same middle names as Kyle, Emma, and Katie. Mm-hmm.
So you carry they carry a little piece of them.
They do. Yeah. They do. Yeah. They'll never be able to know them, but they will know them through us.
Mm-hmm. So you're still coping with the grief of losing your three children. And also now raising triplets. How do you balance that?
Some days we still want to crawl in bed. Some days one of us still. Does stay in bed and the other one, takes care of the triplets. Mm-hmm. The grief is still there and it's mm-hmm. just as strong. It's just a little further apart in mm-hmm. days-wise.
In dates-wise. But having these children, does it ease some of it?
Well, they'll never replace Kyle, yes. Emma, and Katie, but the joy is back in the house. It's mm-hmm. back in our hearts. They fill our lives again with love and happiness and laughter.
Well, the man driving the truck that slammed into Lori's minivan was convicted on 3 counts of vehicular manslaughter and was sentenced to 1 year in jail. He is a father of 3 who told the judge that he was suicidal. So you all met this truck driver, and what happened?
Mr. Romero is actually a very kind-hearted, gentle person. And just by telling this story, you might jump to vilify somebody mm-hmm. right away. But, there is someone behind the wheel, and while they shared some of the blame in this tragedy, you know, he just felt absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Both Lori and I got to give him a big hug at one point. Mm-hmm. And he had this incredible burden on his shoulders for so long. And just couldn't imagine the joy we gave to him when mm-hmm. you know, we said, we forgive you. We're sorry this happened. We know you didn't do it on purpose. And
wow.
It could have been any one of us driving a car that
So what happened to his truck? What happened to his truck that he ran into the back of you?
I was stuck in traffic on a freeway waiting to exit, and I was about half a mile back on the freeway, basically in a parking lot. And there's a blind curve coming up to that exit. Mm-hmm. And I was so far back in that blind curve that he didn't see me. By the time he saw traffic, it was too late.
Mm-hmm. And that is why he slammed into
me. And that is why he slammed into me.
Well, one of the ways Chris and Lori want to honor the lives of their children, Kyle and Emma and Katie, is by working to prevent another accident like this from ever happening again. So tell us about that.
As we discovered after this accident, this particular roadway where the accident happened had been a problem area for up to 10 years.
For 10 years?
10 years, yes. Wow.
So the Cobles sued the California Department of Transportation for wrongful death, claiming that it was a dangerous highway exit. Chris and Lori lost that case and then were ordered to pay $291,000 in legal fees. And so where does that stand now? I hear you want to appeal that case because...
Well, yeah, we'd like to appeal that side of the case. So there's two appeals. There's one for the 291, and there's one for the case in general. And we have no idea if there's even any possibility of success there in those type of appeals. So we're at the very beginning stages of that process.
What message do you want, you know, anyone at department at Caltrans who's watching, particularly somebody who can make the right decisions? And what message do you want us to take away from this?
Yeah, this is important. As soon as most people hear the word lawsuit, they think we're out to somehow get money from this experience. So, you know, what we discovered as this case was moving forward was the system by which Caltrans keeps our roads safe and monitors the road conditions is not effective. And I think I'm being kind when I say that. So we want Caltrans to change their procedures for how they keep our roads safe.
Mm-hmm. There are millions of people watching today, and surely someone is living through the worst day of their life right now. What do you want to tell them?
I'd say hold on to your loved ones. Yeah. Hold on tight, because you're really going to need them.
Thank you. Your being here today made us believe in miracles even more. Thank you. So we first met Colin Goddard 3 years ago, just 2 days after that horrific massacre at Virginia Tech. Remember that one? 32 students and teachers were killed. Colin was one of the few gunshot victims that actually survived. We have a special report from Virginia Tech where...
Just 2 days later, we did a live show about that shooting. Colin told Lisa Ling how he survived.
I tried to act dead, like I wasn't even moving. Next thing I know, the police were kicking the door, trying to get in. They said, shoot her down. So apparently he had
one of the last
bullets was for himself in the front of the classroom.
Colin survived and is here. Welcome. So many people I've spoken to over the years, they've been involved in some tragic event. Their identities become wrapped up in that sort of victimization. Did you feel that way at first?
At first, yeah. I've been a young professional for 2 years, so I haven't really had any professional accomplishments to be called, you know, Colin Goddard, the author or lawyer. Mm-hmm. It's Colin Goddard, the survivor. I hope mm-hmm. at some point, though, that changes.
That no longer becomes your identity. But you told my producers, I know, that you made a conscious choice not to become a victim.
Right.
Just like the Cobles did.
Yeah. Listening to their story, I could relate to so much of what they said. You you know, how they felt, how they grieved and how they moved on. It was the choice of what do? Do you let this consume you? Do you think about this all day? Like, I thought about that situation changing every single way, how I could have saved the day or how I could have been killed. And the sooner I accepted what happened, I could then move on and deal with it.
And so what does it feel like to be shot?
That's very hard to explain. In the situation that I was in, I was in survival mode. So when I was shot, I actually didn't feel any pain.
You didn't?
I didn't. I felt numb throughout my entire body. Later, the fact I learned that when you're in a very stressful situation, your body releases natural endorphins as a natural painkiller. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I felt the big force of air and a sharp sting. And then when I smelt the gunpowder, when I smelt the propellant, mm-hmm. when I felt the blood trickling down my leg, that's when I came full circle with, I just got shot.
I hear you can still feel the bullets.
Some of them, you know, there's three still out of the four that are there. 2 months ago, I actually had a surgery to remove part of the bullet that had surfaced. It took 3 years to surface. I don't know why, but you could feel it in my side.
Is it something you think about every day because you have the scars? Or is it, you know, psychologically something that even if you're not looking at your body, you revisit on a daily basis?
I wouldn't say daily, but it happens often. Not to where it puts me out of my zone or anything like that gets me upset, but I do think about it. Things bring it up. I mean, if I hear about another shooting, especially on the news, that's probably when it hits me the most, when I know that there are other families now getting a phone call saying that there's one of their family members has been shot, come to the hospital, you know, getting all that whole process.
How hard was it to go back into the classroom?
That was pretty tough. I mean, that was pretty tough for all the surviving students who returned. You know, any kind of loud noise, any student who comes in late and throws the door open, you know, your heart jumps.
Colin's mission has become the focus of a new documentary called Living for 32, because 32 people died that day. And in the film, Colin goes undercover to expose just how easy it is to get your hands on a gun. So, do you feel you found your calling doing this?
Well, I mean, I didn't know about this beforehand. So this opened my eyes, and it happened in a time in my life where I really didn't know what I wanted to do after college and all that, so it kind of all came together. And it was also that, and also after I heard about the shootings in Pittsburgh and in Binghamton, New York, when I was like, I have to address this. Like, I have to do something about this. I can't just sit on the side anymore.
Were you surprised every time at how readily accessible guns were to you?
Yeah. I mean, these guys were just concerned about the money they were going to make. You know, I've been around guns beforehand. You know, I had shotguns. I've been to the range. I've been hunting before. I passed basic rifle marksmanship in Army ROTC. So it wasn't some foreign thing, but I didn't know that it was really that easy to buy. But when it comes to selling them, it's just like a TV or a sofa. It's just something that gets them $300, and that's what they're concerned about. That blows my mind.
So when you survive a random victimization, such as the massacre there at the school, and 32 people are killed, is there a sense of drive, ambition, purpose, to your life that shifts, that changes?
Do you think
because I live now, I must do?
Well, you know, people have told me different things like that. People have said that, you know, you survive for a reason. There's a reason you're here. You're supposed to do something big. Or some mm-hmm. people say you survived because God was looking out for you that day.
And so he wasn't looking out for the other 32?
Yeah, both of those things are hard for me to take in. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe I was lucky. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. And I'm comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. He had all the cards in his hand, I say. And when he laid them down, I was one of the ones face up.
So what's your ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is just to try to do something about gun violence in this country. Living for 32 is about not only the 32 people who were killed at Virginia Tech, but on average, there are 32 Americans killed by guns every day in this country. So 30,000 people a year, 70,000 people are shot and survive. You know, that's a huge number. And there are things we can do about that. So the ultimate goal is to try to make that impact, try to make it harder for the dangerous people to get their guns. Because as you can see, it's really too easy.
It's really too easy. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big.